Corinthians chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back for you, if you want to grab one. We're 1 Corinthians 14. It was cold this morning. It's surprising. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we've been looking at errors in Corinth. It's hard to give all these different names, because really from chapter 12, 13, and 14, Paul is really dealing, I think, with mainly the same thing. He's dealing with this childish, immature way of thinking when it's regarding spiritual things. And he deals with it, and he shows the dysfunction that it brings to the church when they're thinking childish about spirituality. That's how he brings it up in chapter 12. Then he tells us about the root of this error, where it's coming from. It's because they had a lack of charity in chapter 13. And he continues on in chapter 14 about this way that they're thinking, this mindset. It's a very childish mentality that they have that's causing these problems when it comes to the gifts and spiritual things. And this one I'm just going to call the error of self-centered spirituality. And we'll talk about that because the true spirituality is one that is edifying others, is one that is beneficial to others, is one that is improving the body. It's caring and taking care of others, right? And so whenever you have a self-centered focus of spirituality, you are affecting the church negatively. And we're going to go into that a little bit, but that's what I would call this one, self-centered spirituality. And we see that, right? Their thinking, their concern was a lot about themselves. That's why since chapter 12 began, they had problems where individuals were lifting themselves up and thinking they were very important, thinking that because they were this or that, they had such gifts that they were unique and somehow that they were complete, right? But it wasn't so. It had others that individuals would look down on themselves because they didn't have certain things, but it was very self-centered, and that's what caused a lot of problems in the church. And so then that's why he gives us the teaching in chapter 13 on charity, and he gets into chapter 14 saying this, follow after charity, right? He sets out the goal. He sets out the purpose. He sets out what you should do, what you should seek after, how you can fix these things. You should follow after charity. This is what we should. This is the priority. Following after charity. Then he says, desire spiritual gifts. He's not against the desire of spiritual gifts. He's not against them wanting to have these gifts and exercise these gifts. He's not against that. But he wants it to be done according to charity. If you are going to exercise all these spiritual gifts, but without charity, then you're in trouble. As he just showed us in chapter 13. So he says, if you follow after charity, then you've got your priorities straight, and then you can follow, you can desire, you can really run after the spiritual gifts. And it can be beneficial for the whole church. So, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And he's going to get into to what they should be looking after, because this was the problem. Their self-centered spirituality, the focus on themselves, made them seek after the gifts that really were self-interesting, that were interested in themselves. And so whenever they were so focused on themselves, they were looking for these spiritual gifts that made them look really good, or maybe it was a very, they were gifts that left an impressionable mark. Maybe it was the gifts that really made them feel a great experience and all these things. But he says, you need to change that mindset and don't look for the gifts that necessarily only make you feel like you want to feel. You need to look for the gifts that are beneficial to others. Not a self-centered spirituality. And that's what he talks about. And we got to remember that we are made as a church. We are a body that's made up of individual members, but we're all together and we have a purpose, right? We have a purpose as a church. And in this church, Paul reminds them, listen, the church has a goal, it has a purpose, and it's not going to complete those purposes by individuals. It's going to complete it as a group. We are together, form one body. And we have to remember that. The purpose of the church, one of the purposes, is to praise and glorify God. And this is why we gather together. We don't do that by ourselves. And this is one of the things that I think is dangerous about this childish mentality when it comes to thinking about spiritual things, is because it becomes self-centered and we slowly step away from thinking that church is truly necessary. And this is really easy to get into. You start looking around, think about it. If you're looking around in Corinth and you're seeing all these problems, wouldn't you think, man, church just really isn't that necessary. Why can't I just do things by myself, on my own? Why can't I just do things at my house? And you can start really thinking you don't need to be involved in the body. You don't need to be in church. You don't need to go to church. We can do things all by ourselves, right? That is a childish mentality when it comes to spirituality. And God wants us to understand the necessity of the church where we are all included in the worship and praise and glory of God. Think about it. It says that by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praises to God continually. In Hebrews, he tells us that. We come together to give a sacrifice of praise to God continually. And remember, oh, magnify the Lord. What does he say? With me. It's together. He says, let us exalt his name together. This is something that we do together. It's something that God wants us to come together and participate in. Now, a lot of times, people have reasons and their reasons for maybe not going to church. Some people have been burned by churches. Some people have seen hypocrisy in churches. Some people have seen maybe a lot of problems in churches and they just come to the conclusion where I can't be a part of any church. I think that's a mistake. I think we gotta realize, listen, there may be problems in a lot of churches and some problems are bigger than others, granted, but we can't just say we don't need to fellowship. We don't need to come together. We need each other. We need to come together. And one of the purposes is to glorify God. It is important that we do it together. Yes, you can glorify God and you can praise God at your house, but there's something about coming together and praising Him together where we all forget all the things that we have in different. We have a lot of differences between us, but we forget all those things and we're focused on one purpose right now, and that is to praise God. It's important to do that. And for that, you're going to have to be a part of the body. And we come together speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is with me together to ourselves. We do it. So church is a collective of us magnifying Christ and giving him the glory that he deserves. So that's a purpose of the church and why self-centered spirituality is an error, because it affects the church. We also gather together to edify and build other believers. This is a purpose of the church. Christ left us here, and like it says in Ephesians, you know this, for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, for the perfecting of the saints. This is why we are here. This is why we're gathered. This is why we're together. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are here for the edification of each other. And so that's very important. Hebrews 10:24, right? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's about not forsaking the assembly together of ourselves, but to come together and provoke each other unto love and good works. We cannot think that we don't need church. We cannot think that we don't need the body, that we can do it individually, that we can do it by ourselves. This is a problem with what we call self-centered spirituality. And the other one is that the church is here to spread the gospel. And we do that together. We do that together. Just one person isn't the one that spreads the gospel. It's the church as a whole. And we encourage each other. We help each other. We even have missionaries that we send out to other parts of the world. And that's what we're doing together, to spread the gospel, and this is very important. And so we have to be careful with this self-centered, childish mentality when it comes to spirituality that can affect the church. We got to be careful with that. And so this error, Paul goes into it. I think he gets into right away what he sees as the clearest problem, the clearest evidence of this, and he talks to them about what they're seeking for. They're seeking after these gifts that are not beneficial to the body. They're seeking these gifts that are self-beneficial, these gifts that are for themselves instead of ones that help the body. And the one he talks about is the gift of tongues. And that's what he's talking about. He says in verse 2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Right? So he says the one that's in speaking in tongues, okay, y'all are all speaking in tongues, but nobody understands you. Nobody around you understands what you're saying. You're saying something in an unknown tongue, in a different tongue. And it's not beneficial to anybody. It's just something that you do. And so it's one of those experiences. And you know, maybe this activity is a real thing, but it's very isolated. It's happening for yourself. Nobody else is benefiting because of it. Nobody else is getting anything out of it. Nobody else is being edified. This is what Paul is saying. You're speaking things and they don't reach anybody, right? And that's why he talks about, we can jump around in verse 6. He says, "Now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you?" We have, right, the Apostle Paul. If the Apostle Paul comes to them and speaks in tongues and nobody understands what he's saying, how is that going to be beneficial? You have the apostle. You have this man that God chose for him to spread the word, for him to give the word, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And yet, if he spoke in tongues, it would be beneficial to nobody because they wouldn't understand him. And so he says, there's no reason for that. He says, "Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine." Even if I'm speaking, even if I'm talking, even if I'm saying all these really important and good things, if you don't understand what I'm saying, there's no benefit. There's no benefit to the body. And that's why in 7 and 8, he compares it to instruments, right? If somebody comes over and you know, just randomly pick somebody to come play the piano, you know, "Let's play How Great Thou Art." If you don't know how to play the piano, the sounds that you're going to make, nobody's going to be able to follow. Nobody's going to be able to make any music out of it, right? It's going to be something that is chaotic. And that's what happens. That's how it is whenever you're speaking in tongues. You're speaking in tongues and nobody understands what you're saying. It is not beneficial for anybody. A trumpet that is unsound. Who will prepare himself for the battle, he says in verse 8. The trumpet has a reason. It puts out a specific sound they make, and in battle, right, they would give specific sounds so that the soldiers would know what to do. But if the one that's playing the trumpet doesn't give us a good sound, then nobody knows what to do. And so again, he's making it very clear that tongues are a self-centered spiritual experience. That gift is very much for you personally, and it has no place in the church if it's not going to edify. And that's why he gives out some rules saying if there's going to be speaking in tongues, there needs to be an interpreter because it needs to be edifying to the church. And you know, I don't know. I think one of the difficult things about tongues also is because it's a hard thing to discern. How do we discern whether the person speaking in tongues is speaking in the Spirit, if whether what he's speaking is correct, whether what he's speaking is good, whether it's bad, whether it's real, whether it's fake? We don't know. That's the thing about tongues, is it's not discernible. It's something that only you will be able to know, because you cannot tell me what it is. And so it's not discerning. But what he gives us the alternative, he says, what you should be seeking after is something that actually brings benefit to the church. And so tongues, he's very clear. He's very clear that tongues and seeking tongues, this being like your spiritual goal and focus, is a very self-centered thing. It's a very childish way of thinking, and it is not beneficial to the church. That's why he goes on, verse 19. Look at what he says in verse 19. He says, "Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." I'd rather speak five words that y'all could understand than 10,000 words that y'all didn't understand at all. That's how much he's saying, listen, those tongues are not that big of a deal for the church. When y'all come together, tongues is not the most important gift y'all should be looking for. And yet, that's what they were pursuing after. That's what they were really pushing for. And so Paul is fixing this error of mindset. Y'all are thinking very childishly. And I want y'all to change that. That's why in verse 20 he says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Get mature. Be mature in your thinking. Be mature in the way y'all see spiritual gifts. And that's how he started in chapter 12, verse 1. He said, "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have y'all be ignorant." I don't want y'all to be ignorant. I don't want y'all to be thinking childishly. I don't want y'all to be thinking wrongly about spiritual gifts. Y'all are pursuing after these gifts that are self-beneficial, but y'all are not interested in edifying the body. And that's an error. And that's what he's saying. And I find that this particular error with tongues continues on even today. I've spoken to people that have actually told me that I should be concerned because I have not spoken in tongues, because they think that tongues truly is the sign that you have received the Spirit of God. And if I haven't spoken in tongues, then you know you need to be concerned because you haven't gotten it. Others think that this is one of the more spiritual ways of knowing how spiritual you are. It's by speaking in tongues, and speaking in tongues is very important to them. When I look at this, this is not what I see from Paul. I mean, he says a few things. He says, in verse 5, he says, "I would that ye all speak with tongues." Like, yeah, that would be a good thing if you could all speak with tongues. So first of all, just right there, I think he's saying not everybody does. I think that's clear. He says, "But rather that ye prophesy." Right there, he's saying, I would like y'all to all speak in tongues, but I'd rather y'all, instead of being able to speak in tongues, I'd rather y'all have this, being able to prophesy. I'd rather y'all be able to do that. And so I don't think tongues is the greatest gift there is, and that's what we should be all focused about and pursuing after. I think there's a big mistake in that, and I think that should be corrected, you know, if that is what's going on. And you do see this, like I said, I have spoken with people personally where they've told me this, and I find it very strange that they would pursue after the gift of tongues so fervently, right? He says something in verse 12. He says, "Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts," right? They were zealous of spiritual gifts. He says, "Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." The problem was they were seeking spiritual gifts that were edifying themselves. He says, why don't y'all be zealous? It's to seek after those things that are going to edify the church. Okay, so I would say, you know, think about that when you're considering the importance of the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues, I guess, it seems like it made people feel very much spiritual. It made people seem very, very spiritual. And it probably was. It probably did have a great significance, right? Yet, be careful with thinking that those things that seem spiritual are the most spiritual. Because true spirituality is going to result in the benefit of the body. Not just your own benefit. It's not just exalting you and lifting you up and making you look good. It's going to be shown in benefiting the body. That's true spirituality. So take that into consideration. And so that root problem, being children in understanding, where they were drawn to what was very impressive and the impressive experience that they were doing, instead of asking, who am I helping? Who am I benefiting here? I'm guessing, just by the context and how he talks, it seems like they got to a point where they were all trying to show how impressive of a gift they had in the being able to speak in tongues, that one would be speaking in tongues and another would start speaking in tongues also. And then it was kind of like a competition of, hey, look, I speak in tongues and I speak in tongues, and everybody just starts speaking in tongues. And it's so confusing that he says, let's read it so that you can see in verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, there come in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, they come in, will they not say, ye are mad? They come in and they see everybody's speaking in tongues. We're all competing on saying, hey, look how big, look how good I have, look at what I can say, look at what I can do, look at how amazing my tongues are. And we're all speaking in tongues. It says somebody, some unbeliever is going to come in and they're going to look around and they're going to say, this is madness. Because they're not understanding anything. He says in verse 24, right after that, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What is he saying? He's saying if somebody is prophesying, if somebody is declaring the truths of God clearly and they're manifesting that, then those people are going to be able to hear that. It's going to impact their heart. They're going to see themselves for what they really are. They're going to know the truth and they're going to be able to get saved. So He makes it very clear, I think, that seeking after fervently the gift of tongues and any other things that are self-edifying and focused on your own self, is a mistake. Especially when it comes to the body of believers. When it comes to us gathering together, we need to consider that the important thing is to edify one another. When it comes to gifts, you use it for the edifying of others. And this is where charity comes in. And that's why he went through chapter 13 and gave us that. So the correction that he gives is follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but this is the one y'all should be focusing after, right? Don't be following after, don't be zealously going after the gift of tongues like y'all have been. Y'all need to change that mentality and you need to go after, what does he say? He talks about that he may prophesy. That he may prophesy. So the importance of prophecy. That's the correction that he gives. And so what is prophesying? Let's let him define that for us here. In verse 3, he says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Okay, so he just said the thing about tongues is you are in tongues speaking and you're speaking to God and you're not speaking to men and men don't understand what you're saying. But the difference between that and prophecy is that prophecy is you speaking to men. You're speaking to other people. You're speaking to somebody else and you're trying to make it clear, right? You're speaking unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. You're speaking things that are actually building and beneficial to other people. Prophesying is declaring the truths of God. Prophesying is declaring the truths of God that is going to build somebody else up. You know, a lot of times I think we go by and think prophecy is only, like a prediction of the future and a foretelling of the future. Not necessarily. And maybe at the same time, when we expand the word of God, when we expand the words of Christ, we are, in fact, telling of something future. Listen, if we tell you about salvation and that your soul needs to be saved and we preach the word of God that Jesus Christ is coming back, listen, this is real and this is future and it's going to happen because we believe the word. And so in that sense, I guess you could say prophecy is kind of the same as foretelling the future, but not necessarily. It's not limited to that specific thing. It's declaring the truths of God so that they can be edified, so that you can build somebody up. And we see this throughout the scriptures, but Paul, what he's doing here is he's showing us that this is important. This is essential. If you're going to pursue after something with zeal, this is what you should pursue. Amen. You should pursue understanding what God says in His Word so that you can take that Word and declare it to other people so that you can build them up. That's what you should pursue. That's what you should be zealous about. Paul says, this is what you should really focus after. This is what I would rather that you may prophesy. Verse 4, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And this is why it was that childish mentality. This is why it was that immature mentality. Because the one is thinking about themselves and edifying myself. The other is about edifying others. And that's why it's important to go after this prophesying. Except that he may, so again, in chapter 5, or verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Okay, that's very clear, right? He just said it. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. Why? Because he's benefiting other people. He is actually bringing something that builds others up. And then the last part he adds there is, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. See, if somebody speaks in tongues, but somebody else is able to interpret that tongue so that others can understand it, then there's going to be some benefit to that. And so that's fine. He says, if somebody's speaking in tongues and there's an interpreter, then that's fine. That's fine to do because that's edifying to the church. He goes on to this, and we'll get into this other stuff here down further a little later. But I do want to go over that, the necessity of clear proclamation of God's word, because this is really important. Paul makes it important so much so that he goes through this quite a bit, and he makes it very clear, this is what y'all should be pursuing. This is what y'all, spiritually minded people, should be going after. You should be going after prophesying. You should be going after the ability to give the word of God clearly so that other people will benefit from it. And this is what we see many times. So let me just give you a few verses so that we can look at them. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Because Habakkuk, also mentions one. He says, he's write the vision and he says, make it plain. I love that. I love that whenever God says, you know, make it plain, make it something that people understand, make it something that's clear. He wants it to be clear. He wants his word to be clear. It talks about teaching and, remember whenever Jesus was expounding the scriptures, to the men that were on the road to Emmaus, and they said, whenever he was opening to us the scripture, our hearts did burn, right? It's like, this is what we're looking for. We're looking to expound the scriptures, to preach the word so that people can hear it and it can really make an impact on them. And that, for that, we need to make the message clear and give understanding. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, here it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. You see, they said, hey, look, we're going to open this up and we're going to talk about it and we're going to explain it and we're going to give you the sense of it and we're going to give you understanding and it's going to be beneficial because y'all are going to clearly understand. Y'all are going to hear some things and it's something necessary. It's something good for you. This is our goal. Our goal is to give the sense of the scriptures, is to give understanding, is to make it clear and plain. Because confusion is not from God. God is not about confusion. Now, interestingly enough, it does say that signs were for unbelievers. And what it saw, whenever it says that signs were for unbelievers, he's actually talking about people that did not believe and they had hard hearts. God said, okay, if you're not willing to believe, this was Israel in the past, he said, then I'm going to send people that are going to give you the message and they're going to give it to you in an unknown tongue and it's going to be even harder for you to understand. Those are people that were already not willing to listen and understand. What God really wants, he does want us to understand.
Amen.
If you harden your heart to the clear understanding of God's word, then you have to be worried that God might send you strong delusion or that God might then keep it hidden from you. And so that's why I say, listen, if somebody knows what God wants and is clear about the message of God, don't harden your heart, because then you're putting yourself in dangerous ground. It kind of like the parables, right? Those that didn't understand the parables were so that seeing they could not see and hearing they could not hear. But God truly wants his word to go out clearly, and that's why he sends forth preachers. He sends people to speak his word. While we're there in Nehemiah, 8, we can go to verse 12. It says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood it. Listen, this is the goal. This is what we want to do. We want to be able to bring the word of God, look at it distinctly, explain it, give a sense of it, and it to be received and understood. That's the goal. And that's what we should be striving for. Childish thinking, childish spirituality is going to be very focused on ourselves. Mature spirituality is going to be one that is focused on others, helping others to understand the Word of God. And that is the goal. And I think this should be something that we strive to do. Because you can't grow from what you don't understand. If you don't understand it, you can't grow. That's why if somebody comes here and preaches a message in Russian, I don't know if anybody would understand. I don't know if anybody knows Russian. Okay, we'll need an interpreter for that. So clarity is essential. It's essential for conviction, like he said, that whenever he comes in and y'all are prophesying, not whenever y'all are speaking in tongues, but when y'all are prophesying, y'all are making clear the word of God, it says that he is convinced of all. He's hearing and he's understanding and he's being convinced. It's actually understanding and making a difference in his life. A discerner. Doesn't the Bible say that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? This is when the Word of God is preached, and it's preached clearly and it's given out in the language that you can understand, it can pierce through and it can really make a difference in your life. So we want conviction. That's why we want something that is understood. But preaching must prioritize the giving of understanding. I think it's interesting that he said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said 5 words. If I could speak 5 words, I'd rather speak 5 words than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. To me, that means you can get a lot across even with 5 words. You know, sometimes you probably have this in your life. You probably don't remember a full message from 20 years ago. But maybe you remember 5 words that were said and they caused an impact on you and you still remember them to this day. 5 words. Sometimes a few words that are clear might have an impact. And so that's what Paul is saying. He's saying again, the mature understanding of spirituality is one that seeks the benefit of others. You know, and I don't know how many times we could repeat that, but he makes it clear and he's going through 3 chapters trying to get them to understand. Y'all are being very childish in your thinking. And y'all need to start thinking about others, not just yourselves. So, the word must be clear. And that's what's going to give light. So I would come to what we do here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I would say that here in this church, we practice what we call the open meeting. And the open meeting is precisely the opportunity that we have to practice what Paul is teaching right here. That we can all seek after that gift of prophecy, that ability, that spiritual desire to give the Word of God clearly so that others can benefit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." He says, listen, we have the opportunity that if you have something that you can bring for benefit to the church, you all can do it. You can all do it. You can all participate in something that's beneficial to the church. In fact, later on, he even talks about if there's going to be an interpreter, then you can speak in tongues. Okay? If there's going to be somebody speaking in tongues, he says you can do it if there's an interpreter. So he doesn't even limit the tongues thing. Even though, you know, they were wild for that, he says, I'm not even limiting that. Don't hinder the speaking in tongues as long as there is somebody that can interpret it. The goal though, to not forget, is the edifying of the church. It's the building up of others. That's the point. And so, you have this time where anyone can come and speak. And this is what we have as the open meeting. The open meeting doesn't mean that it's open for you to talk about anything you want. Okay, we have these meetings on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights. That is where you have the opportunity to come and you can speak. But open doesn't mean it's open for you to say anything you want, right? We are sticking to the Bible. We want God's Word to be understood and presented and spoken about and clear, right? That's the goal. So whenever we say open, that's not the sense. Open is just the sense that all can participate. That means you can be at home and you can study a portion of the scriptures and you can come to an understanding of it. It can affect your life and bless you and be something good in your life. And then you can bring it and expound it and teach other people because they might need to hear that also. That's the beauty of the open meeting. The open meeting is where we can exercise our abilities to edify other people, to build other people up in the church. And you know, I think it's a way to allow the Spirit of God to work amongst us, because maybe something that I'm reading and studying on is something that God wants me to get to that other person over there. Maybe something you're reading and studying is what God wants me to hear. And since I'm not reading that portion of the scripture, how am I going to get it? Maybe God's given it to you so that you can give it to me. And that's how the open meeting works. A lot of times we think maybe, man, I don't want to stand up in the open meeting because they already know it. Have you that ever happened to you? Yeah. Especially if we're young, you know, we grow up in the church. We're like, man, this guy has been saved longer than I've been alive. What can I say that he don't know? Sometimes we feel like that. We're probably mistaken, because sometimes they might be forgetful. Sometimes they might need a refresher, a reminder, an exhortation. Who knows? It might benefit even the people that have already heard it. But, you know, maybe there's people that haven't heard it. Guess what? There's children around here that may not have heard what you've heard. You might have heard that story 1,000 times, but that young kid over there might not have heard it ever. And so you don't know who God might want to be blessing by you standing up and giving a clear message of God's word, because somebody might benefit out of what you say. Even if you read one verse and say maybe 5 words, it might be beneficial. It might be exactly what God wants to give some other person. If people are coming to church, you know, do you realize that sometimes people come to church and they're not reading their Bibles at their house? It's never happened to you? I think it's happened to all of us. You might not have read the Bible that week, but you came to church and God might say, hey, I want to give him a word. And since he's not reading the word, I need somebody to stand up and give him that word. And it might be you. So when I hear the Bible say, quench not the spirit, I think, hey, if God has given me a word to speak, even though, boy, I'm timid, even though, boy, I'm not the one that just jumps up and wants to talk, but if God has given me a word to speak, I need to jump up and speak it. Because I don't want to quench the spirit. And so study the word. Understand it. Get a clarity of it. Allow it to bless you and change your life. And then you can bring and share that with other people, and it can be a blessing, and it can build others up. And this, in the end, is true spirituality. Spirituality, if it centers on yourself, it weakens the church. But if it is something that builds others, that strengthens the church. And so I would say that, I think, is the true measure of spirituality. That I might teach others. That's what Paul says, right? Yet, in verse 19, yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. That's mature way of thinking in spirituality. Can I teach others? Can I be a benefit to others? Can I serve others? Can I help others? Forget this mentality of coming to church for me. Me, me, me. What am I going to receive? What am I getting out of it? How I don't like how they taught me, how they said, how they looked at me. You're thinking about me, 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 me. That is not good for you, and it's not good for the church. But if we come to the church ready to help, ready to be there for somebody, ready to pray for somebody, ready to give a word to somebody, that is beneficial to the church. So no more childish spirituality. Let's be mature in our thinking, and let's see if we can benefit others. Let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll start up again at 11 o'clock.